Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we help enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight. A reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, and ordained minister, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Well, hi and welcome to Nightlight Matrix. After a rocky start, welcome everyone. And that was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and wisdom. These are times of change, and those times call to the light workers. So you answer that call from all walks of life and from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing, and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities from all walks of life. And yet, there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles: watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers and journeymen, seekers, star children, philosophers, light workers, light bearers, and, well, that list goes on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our very own individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness of all of mankind. This is my very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution, so sit back, take a break. Share your lights with us and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Peg Jones today, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our personal lights. I am really, really delighted today to have Peg Jones with me. She's a lovely, amazing lady, and she has the honor of being able to talk with angels. She has an amazing experience of sharing her reality with angels and having them blend in with hers. And she has recently published a book called Living in the Heart Place with Your Angels. And it's an amazingly lovely book. It's a journal. It's a day by day journal of messages from angels and then experiential types of things that you can do to sort of connect to your own angels, and it's an amazingly lovely book. It took her a number of years to write this. I wonder if this is going to be a yearly thing or not for her, but it's an amazing experience, and I would highly recommend you people check it out on Amazon and see if it doesn't blend with your energy as well. Peg also is a member of the Spiritualist Online organization and does workshops there. So she is definitely out there, and she is definitely sharing her message and walking her talk. So, Peg, thanks so much for joining me here today.
Hi, Barbara. Nice to be here.
Oh, I'm delighted to have you. I've had such a lovely time on the Spiritualist Online kind of network, getting to know you and what you do, and I'm amazingly inspired by the fact that you talk to archangels, because frankly I don't know who I talk to, but it's got to be somebody cool, but they haven't given me their names yet. How did this all begin for you?
Very slowly, very gently. It basically, I remember as a child my mother would read us stories about the angels, and we would, you know, talk about them. And I remember she spoke about our guardian angels, and I especially liked the fact that I had a guardian angel for myself, having probably 5 or 6 brothers at the time. And I probably spoke to them, and I believe that I saw them, but by the time I was 8 or 9, I basically lost contact, never thought of them. The only angels we really talked about was Archangel Gabriel. And then 30 years later, at the age of, it was 20 years ago, I went to a seminar about angels, and I just kind of went for curiosity because I really didn't know what the seminar was going to be about, but she was, you know, talking about the beautiful angels in the room and the beautiful colors, and I had no idea what she was talking about, and I really couldn't relate at the time, but it seemed like after that seminar, angels seemed to come to me in different ways, and gifts from families, statues, from my students, from my husband even, and I'm like, okay, enough with the angels. And by that time I had walked into a chat room and they were talking about angel card readings, and there were a few angel classes. And I went to one angel class, and it was a wonderful class. And I don't know if I connected, but for some reason I felt very inspired. So I started doing a lot of reading about the angels, through different authors. And then I decided I would get a angel card deck. And it probably took me 3 years to feel comfortable because I didn't think I had anything to say to anyone.
I can understand that. That's a very common feeling in people that are called to this field. We actually don't really believe that we have anything to say, and we kind of wonder why anybody actually, I speak for myself here. At first it was, you know, why would anybody listen to me? I screw up more than most people, but.
Well, it was like, well, I don't know if they're talking to me or not. What are they saying, you know? And, mm-hmm. but it finally took me 3 years to finally trust the messages that I was hearing for people. And I did become a little bit more comfortable. I was also involved in doing some healing circles, writing prayers and meditations. And I'm Reiki 2, so I had mm-hmm. Reiki 2, Reiki 1 and 2. And one day I was at an inspirational writing class, and I said to my angels, I want to hear from you. I want to hear a message from you for me, you know, not a message to give to someone for me. And they gave me this wonderful message. And that's when I got inspired to have get my website started, having no way of how I'm going to get it started. And it just kind of took off from there. And I just began doing a lot of writing and sharing messages, and, you know, it just kind of took off from there.
Well, you know, I kind of think that this is a field especially that lots of people are curious about, and lots of people do a lot of reading about, And a lot of people have a great deal of knowledge, not necessarily wisdom, but knowledge. And then there are those that get dragged kicking and screaming into it, you know, and you know, really not believing that they had any gift or talent at all. And it took me 7 years before I had to admit that maybe there was something there. So I can totally relate to your reluctance, and I find that you know, when you are called to this field, you cannot, absolutely cannot, not answer that call. Because if you don't answer it, the universe just shuts everything else up for you, and the only thing left is this field. So.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's so true for me. Yeah, because a month after I completed my certificate for Angel Life Coaching, my job as a case manager stopped. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I basically was full-time into writing and teaching and, you know, doing things like that afterwards. So, yeah, that, you know, it was like the money was there to pay for the class, and then, you know, you did what you needed to do, now work for me.
Yeah, that's about it. I think your book is inspired, to tell you the truth. I mean, not only inspired by the angelic realm, but it's inspired in that it gives everybody a daily message and then an assignment, something to work on, something to focus on within their lives, because so many people, you know, have all of this knowledge, have all of you know, the philosophies, but they don't understand that if you don't walk this talk, it won't work for you. Just having the philosophy is not enough. You have to live it. And
yeah.
And so your book really inspires people. It gives them an inspirational vignette, and then it gives them something to work on during the day, an assignment. And it makes it easier for people to understand how you put the spirituality to work within your reality. And it's phenomenal. It's not something that you read all the way through. You read
right.
little bits, and then you do it
yep.
a day-to-day type thing.
Mm-hmm. Or you could just open it up and just read, you know, for inspiration too. You know, or you could follow it day by day.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, however you yourself are inspired, I think. So, yeah.
Now, is this book, now I, you know, I read, I did read through it, but it's not, you have it a day-by-day assignment, but you don't have, how do I put this? It isn't specific to any particular year. You can use it year after year after year after year.
Right, yeah.
And
yep.
that's a really cool thing because as you grow, as you awaken and become awake, to the aspects within you, you can go back and repeat lessons over and over and over again, and every time you repeat them, they just become more intense, and you find out more stuff, and you expand your awareness just that much more. So it's a phenomenal book. So, you know, it's not a one-time read. It's a lifetime read if you really want to use it that way.
I think so, because you know, you never know what you may need on a particular day. You know, last night I was doing a talk in a place in the area, and I wasn't completely received, but I asked the person if she wanted me to read her birthday message, and it had all to do with negativity and negative people, and I'm like talking about putting my foot in my mouth. But it was almost like, I mean, it was right up front, you know. It was like
uh-huh.
about, you know, about protection and grounding and all that. And, you know, I'm like, oh, my God, get me out of here. But but I you know, I read it, you know, and I didn't say a thing afterwards or anything, you know. And but I felt like it was what it was needed to be said at the time, and I didn't say it, so the angel said it for me. And it was pretty interesting. But, I mean, even my mother, you know, she had surgery a couple months ago, and so she read the message for the day, and it talked about being patient, you know, patience after, during her recovery time. And, you know, she said, I really needed to hear that because I'm not going to feel very patient after the surgery. I'm going to want to get going and moving and stuff. So it was like, you know, thank you, angels, for reminding me. So,
Now, just out of curiosity, I know that you, I understand the getting the messages and all. How do you know when you have an archangel talking to you? They aren't announced with trumpets and harps, but how do you know?
Sometimes they are, I think. I just kind of, I think I'm getting to the point where I'm getting used to their energy. And I also think it has a lot to do with intention, like calling upon a certain archangel for guidance or for help. Sometimes I'm beginning to be able to say, I feel that Archangel Michael is around you, you know, for protection, or Archangel Raphael. I'm trusting that that's what I'm hearing. You know, I'm not positive, but I'm trusting that that's what I'm hearing. So, I have Archangel Michael around me a lot, you know, and, the angels, they all have, like, specific jobs or things they can help you with, you know, like for healing and writing, messaging, creative writing, creativity, grief, relationships, different things like that. And, I think it's just basically the intention that you have that you ask them to be with you, you know.
Yeah, you must have been guided to different, you know, different information on different archangels and things like that, so that, you know, I don't imagine that you suddenly sat down and, you know, got the archangel handbook or anything, that you must have been guided intuitively towards exactly what it was you were going to be connecting to.
That and getting a handbook on archangels.
I'm sure that helps too.
Because in my learning and working with the angels, I really wasn't specifically told who they were and what they did to help us. And it was because it was like I was certified in angel card readings, and we didn't really talk about that. So I just began to do a little bit of research myself, and that's kind of how I teach my Angels 101 class, is introducing a few of the main archangels and then having people do research on other angels that they're interested in. And, we use meditation, and we use some writing, and that's basically.
Does every person have an archangel with them?
I think that they probably do. I think that that's a possibility. But like I say, it's understanding who they are and how they can help you. And being aware of who they are. I think our culture, you know, for quite a long time has been such that, you know, there was really no focus on the angels and who they are. We knew about angels in our, you know, in our different belief systems and everything, but we didn't really understand who they all were, you know, or the fact that they truly are around us. You know, I think that as I was growing up, I never thought that I could ask for help from an angel in any way, you know.
Just to sort of educate, you know, anyone out there that doesn't understand what an angel and an archangel is, could you kind of give a short description so they would understand, you know, what it is we're talking about here?
Okay, well, archangels are, there's different levels of the angelic realm. There's from the seraphim down to the angels, and the archangels are just above the angels. The archangels are angels that are closer to mankind. You know, they're the angels that help to protect us, and they help to guide us. They haven't particularly ever been on Earth. You know, there's the story of Michael, banning Lucifer from the heavens, or, you know, and so he's basically the protective angel, and he is the top angel. He's the top archangel. They are basically messengers of God, and you know, they assist God in helping mankind to learn, you know, and to help mankind in their, you know, in the issues that are needed to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. So they really are available to everyone. It's just a matter of people knowing enough to ask for the help.
I believe that, yes.
Because, you know, I know a lot of people that, you know, just poo-poo the angel bit, and you know, I kind of think that's very sad, that there's a great deal of ignorance that is certainly illustrated when somebody doesn't understand that you know, this is another level of consciousness that we can certainly open ourselves to and help to enlighten not only ourselves but other people as well. I mean, archangels carry wisdom that goes beyond what we have down here written in tablets and books and things like that. They carry a memory of eternities. And,
right.
And our books don't.
Yeah, so there's a lot that we haven't been told, you know, and it's almost like the angels now, in the last couple of years, they really want us to know that they are here for us. You know, and, you know, we talk about the veil. It's almost like the veil is getting a lot thinner, you know. And,
I would certainly agree with that.
Yeah, and there's just more awareness about it. But
you know, bringing this kind of wisdom and knowledge to people is really important. I think it's important to everyone that they understand that though life can be difficult and tough, it isn't for them to struggle alone. That there is certainly help out there, and there are. Energies that can not so much intervene, but give us an understanding so that we can better cope and go through whatever lessons that we are we're going through at that particular time. And I do think that there, from time to time, they actually do intervene, because I can remember times in my life where I felt I had gotten a warning of some sort, and I always heed those warnings when, you know, you get the chills and you think, uh-oh, I better listen to this.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, they're giving us a lot more signs that they are around us, you know, through the clairs, through our senses, through our body, you know, like we may be driving and we may have a feeling that we need to stop suddenly or to slow down. You know, and you know, and up ahead there might be an accident, or, you know, there could be a fire engine at a house or something, or police stopping traffic, you know, and I think it's almost like they're helping us to pay attention to, you know, these signs, you know, through doing, you know, giving us, you know, being more present and in telling us this. But you know, I think.
Don't you think too that humanity is in such a place here where we are coming as a species to periods of time where choices have to be made? Don't you think that they are really trying to get information through even some of the thickest of skulls that love and you know, being kind to one another is a much better way to go? I mean, when I look at the world today, you know, I am greatly saddened for all of humanity, because there is so much trauma, there is so much sadness, there is so much upheaval going on, and it would seem to me that the angelic realm must be working overtime.
Oh, I definitely believe that, and as a matter of fact, I think they are. definitely. I think that they're, and this kind of shows up in the amount of people that are, you know, beginning to tune into their angels and, you know, the light workers. I mean, that's what the whole idea of the light workers is to, you know, help people to understand and, you know, channelers and authors and teachers and, you know, people with different specializations and, you know, energy workers. I mean, all these people are, you know, I think are helping to make the world a little bit more aware, you know, radio shows, you know, different things like that, websites, you know, it's, we're pretty lucky in this day to be able to have the amount of communication that we have to be able to share with each other. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. You know, I never ever thought I would, you know, be talking to people from other parts of the world. It just was never in my realm of thinking. You know, I was a teacher. That was it. You know, my world was around my town and my family. And, you know, to go a little bit more international was something I never thought would ever be a part of my life. But it was always something I wanted to do. I just had no idea how that was ever going to happen. But,
you know, I have found that the universe, really when it has things in mind for you, it doesn't really matter what you care. The universe is going to make it happen.
Yeah.
I probably 20 years ago just threw up my hands in disgust, and I said, all right, just, you know, wherever you want me, go. You give me a call, I'll answer the call. I'm not going to dial myself because I'm afraid I'll screw up, but I will definitely, when I get the call, I'll answer it. And I have to tell you, the calls have been very strange, but, and like you, I never dreamed that that what we're doing right now or the teaching and the working with the SOC or any of that, I never thought that any of that was something, I never knew about it. Forget thinking of working with them, but
too.
I never knew about them.
And, my first time that I walked into a chat room, a spiritual chat room, was 2003. You know, and I had never heard of anything like this before in my life. And, you know, I didn't know. I think I might have heard, but I didn't know how to access them.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on the line and I found BeliefNet. And I found a discussion group about angels and guides. And it changed my life. And that's where I found the chat room, and, you know, I haven't turned back since. It was
well,
like,
I didn't,
you know.
I didn't even discover Blog Talk Radio until 2009.
Me neither.
And when I discovered it, you know, somebody asked me to be a guest on the on a show, and I said, you know, well, where's the studio? And they said, oh, no, just from your phone. And I thought, I don't have to even get dressed. I can do it in my jams. And it was amazing. And so then I asked them, figuring there was so much technical stuff involved, you know, could I watch them do a show? And they said, sure. And
oh, that's cool.
I went and watched them do a show, and I thought, well, I can do that. It was a little more complicated than, but you know,
and what you're going to say, right?
it was terrifying at first, and I have left my first shows up on purpose because they are terrible. I think everybody should know that. You know, you start out rocky, and it gets smoother, you know.
And
I mean, I had disaster hits. I had one show where something had screwed up, and there was nobody in the queue, and there was nobody in the chat room. And so I read humanity for 2 solid hours.
Out loud?
Yeah, no, I did readings for humanity. I thought this is a perfect opportunity. This is what the universe wants you to know, humanity. Pay attention. And I had a number of people said it was one of the better shows I ever did. So it was kind of like the very first psychic chat room I went into on Blog Talk Radio. I can't for the life of me, I don't know who it was, but. She got on the show and she said, well, nobody's here to ask questions. And, you know, if nobody calls in, you know, I'll just stop the show. I'm going to play some music. She played some music and she said, well, it's been 15 minutes and nobody has any questions. So I'm going to just cancel the show and you can all go do what you need to do. And when she said that, I thought, oh, I will never do that. I will stay on the air no matter what. If there's nobody there, I will stay on the air and talk to myself, and I have done that. I mean, happily these days, there are people that want readings and things like that. So, you know, but nobody knew who I was or where I was or if I was. So it took me a while, but it's been an honor to be on Blog Talk Radio. Now, Blog Talk Radio screws up a lot, too, but it gives us a... Yeah, it gives us a platform that is phenomenal. It gives us the world to talk to and to share with, and it's the best school ever as far as I'm concerned, and I've certainly looked into other, you know, other networks and things like that. And it just seems to me that it gives you the opportunity to meet. Now, I don't even know where you are. I know what your area code is, but I don't know where you are. But when I did the Spiritualists Online Network thing on Tuesday, I'm pretty sure we were talking to the world, and I know that at least Julie was in Great Britain, and you know, when you have this kind of a platform and you have a message to give and you can do it in your sweats, in your kitchen, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. It truly doesn't.
Exactly. I have really enjoyed teaching at Spiritualists Online. It's been a wonderful experience. It's kind of, you know, kind of like one step up from the chat room typing. It's, you know, getting on camera. I'm still not all that thrilled about being on camera, but I do it. And, you know, and it's getting a little bit easier each time that I do it. Now I've just got to get a computer that works right, and we'll be fine. And it's been a wonderful experience. It really has. And I think
we're guided. I truly do. I mean, you know, it there has to be something else at play here because. You know, left to our own accords, God knows what we do, but we'd probably be trading recipes by now. But you know, I think that there is an essence of people who are sensitive And mm-hmm. and everyone is. Let me you know, step back for just a second and say what Peg does, what I do, what Lizzie Starr does, what I don't know, Nick Fox, what Grant Collier do. What we do is not unusual or superhuman. It's just that we've worked very hard at developing our own spirituality and walking our talk, and the sensitivity that we have because of that is something that anybody can do.
Exactly.
You know, we are not magical. Nobody waved a wand over us. Probably none of us had a veil over us when we were born. And the thing is, that sensitivity opens you up to other levels of consciousness that are out there that you can access and draw wisdom from. And so we're not doing anything that is outrageously profound. We're just very lucky. And it's not that we have been selected. It's that we've done some work. So that you know, if you want to do the work, you can do exactly what we're doing, probably from your own, you know, philosophy and level of consciousness. But Peg finding you know, the archangels and the angels, you know, is one modality of this field. The only master that I honestly know that I work with is Master Charge. And you know, it that was a joke, by the way. I don't work with Master Charge. I abuse him. So you know, it I don't hear the angels. I speak with spirits. I get channeled information. I assume it comes from a higher source. And from what I understand, it does, but I don't have a name to connect to it. I know Jody, you know, works with Michael almost
mm-hmm.
exclusively, and
yep.
she has a very lovely connection with him, and I know that from what I read about your stuff, you work with Michael and Raphael and Ariel mostly, and then the others as well. So you know, everybody has their own little niche, and they overlap sometimes, and you know, and that's great too. But
definitely. I know that I didn't really understand connection until I had my first medium connection, and then it made me easier for the angel connection. It was almost like the trust was truly there, and it, because you know of the way that. Because of the outcome, because it was a good outcome. It wasn't, you know, that was one thing I always said, I will never do a spirit connection in any way. And
never say never.
I know. And so when I did, it was like, okay, I don't know what I expected. I didn't realize this, how subtle it all was. And so, mm-hmm. You know, once I realized the drums don't bang and the horns don't toot, that, you know, I was able to understand that I have probably been doing this for a very long time and not realizing it. And I think once I had a full understanding for myself, I was able to truly understand the words from the angels and how to, you know, really be able to connect for other people, too, as far as messages for them, too. And I think trust is a very big thing. You know, trust in yourself, in your ability, because everyone can do it, and trust in the universe, that you may be saying something that you may not completely understand, but the person that you're working with or that you're writing for or whatever, they may understand exactly what's being said.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah, so that's why I talk a lot about the clairs in connection. And, you know, it's also energy differences. You know, the angels have a very high vibration. Our guides have a little bit of lower vibration. It's understanding that, and I'm beginning to completely understand that. My connection with my guide hasn't been all that great, and he's not talked to me because I think he's mad at me because I don't talk to him. But I'm working on that too. But you know, it's,
well, in your philosophy, in your and people have to understand that there is no guidebook for all of this, so that it's all whatever works for one doesn't necessarily work for another, doesn't necessarily work for another, but it'll work for somebody else. But in your philosophy, does everybody have a specific guide that they have with them all the time, and or is it?
You mean angel guide or spirit guide or?
Well, and what's the difference between an angel or a spirit guide? Well, obviously one's a spirit and one's an angel. That was a dumb question, Barbara.
Well, I think mainly it's because the spirit guides had lived on Earth. So I think that they're a different vibration from the angelic.
Well, the angelic, as far as I understand it, the angelic is they're disincarnate spirits. So
They were never on Earth, though there are two that I think were at one time for a while. And I think it's Metatron, and I can't think of who the other angel is, but they were people that were in the Old Testament, I guess. And I'm not sure exactly.
Was Metatron Enoch?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, that's.
And there was another angel, and I don't think it was Sandalphon, but I'm not sure.
Well, I know Enoch came back as Metatron, and all I could think of when I saw that was, my God, you know, Metatron sounds like he should be, you know, one of the superheroes. I mean, it just sounds like he should go right along with Thor and all of those other guys.
Yeah, he's a very powerful angel for sure. And as a matter of fact, I hear conflicting stories about whether or not he is an archangel or if he is higher than an archangel. And I want to do a little bit more study about that to see exactly who and what he is. I mean, you know, every belief and every, you know, they have all kinds of different stories, and it's just kind of trying to piece it together and, I think, trying to find a common thread between them to get the story right.
Well, isn't it also whatever sits or fits right with you is really what's true for you?
It probably is. I mean, yeah, I think in many ways it is.
I mean, let's face it, the people that wrote the books are down here along with us. So you could actually just write the book.
I could.
Well, when you stop and think about it, as far as frame of reference goes, unless you figure in the angels giving you information, I mean, you have the same, you have access to the same information as everybody else does.
Exactly.
And that's something I think people need to understand, that all of the texts on every aspect of these fields have been written by people who have clay feet just like us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's sort of like I always say to people, this is my philosophy today. It may well change tomorrow, this is what I believe today, and I may well learn more, grow more, and be more insightful tomorrow or next week. So, you know, check back, and you know, we'll see what goes then. But it's a wonderful field to be involved in because your awareness is constantly opening up and you're constantly getting access to more and more insight and information, and there is no end to what you can pull through. So it's a very exciting place to be. But, you know, I think these days humanity is really looking for greater understanding and greater awareness and greater insight and the ability to sort of understand our purpose here on the planet and what it is we're supposed to be doing.
I don't think
anyone's truly figured it totally out, but
no, but I also think that I'm beginning to see that we really haven't been told the whole truth about everything, about world history, you know, and I feel like we're just kind of finding that out now. And that's a little bit disconcerting for myself.
But isn't world history, they say world history is written by those who won whatever war happened to be going on at the time. I mean, Josephus was the one that put most of the biblical stuff together for the Romans. So, he wasn't Jewish. He was the one that he wrote the history according to them. So,
right.
You know, it's sort of like it. You know, we're all kind of at the mercy as far as, you know, who wrote the history. And just lately, we've been rewriting history. You know, the Watergate stuff has been rewritten, which I thought was fascinating. Is sort of like, how can you rewrite history? That's not the way it actually happened, but it is in the books now.
Yeah, that's kind of too bad in my thinking, but I guess it's for preservation or something, or they think it is for that. But
how can that be for, I mean, seriously, I mean, it's history. How can you rewrite it? That's not the way it happened. And you know, they're doing it all the time, and because they're doing it all the time now, it begs the question, have they done it all the time all along? Are we, you know, just so far from some of these occurrences that it's been rewritten so many times that the actual story has been lost in time?
I'm reading a lot of things like that is happening or has happened, and it's starting to come out now, I think, exactly what they are. I don't have any specific examples right now, but I mean, even about Atlantis and Lemuria, you know, I never heard of those until a year ago. you know, and I'm like fascinated by it. I read everything I can about it now, and I find it really interesting. And you know, I mean, the beliefs about, you know, energy healing and you know, they call it alternative medicine. It's medicine that's been around for thousands of years, but it's alternative medicine. But you know, that kind of troubles me a little bit too. But I mean, I didn't know until a year, or I didn't realize until a year ago that most medicines were from plants in the first place. So just finding out these little things, you know, made me realize how sheltered I was in many ways about a lot
I think all of us are. I mean, let's look at Christopher Columbus.
Yeah.
First of all, we know he didn't discover the New World.
Right.
But on top of that, he murdered thousands of people, and he gets a day dedicated to him. Which
I know.
It's ridiculous.
And I remember, you know, teaching my kids about, you know, Columbus Day, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, you know.
Yeah.
Having big
and Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492.
Yeah.
Well, he did. He did sail that year. But he was horrible, and he killed people, and, you know, he was not one of the most compassionate people on this earth, and you know, and yet the history books tell it that way. I mean, Pelt Town Man was a fraud, but they still talk about it in the history books as though it wasn't.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it's sort of like, come on, you know, you're adjusting it the other way. Why don't you adjust it the right way as well? You know,
exactly.
We haven't actually, you know, it's now to the point where the history books really aren't telling the truth.
No.
And then I was looking at, I forget, it was in the news a while back, how they were changing the history of a lot of places and things, and it was like, and these are the books that are going to be in the schools, and this is what our kids are going to grow up, and it's wrong.
It definitely is. But then I think about what we were probably taught too, and it was probably wrong too. I never understood why I had to learn a bunch of dates about a bunch of different wars and, massacres and everything.
I still don't know why you have to.
I love history, but I just, you know, and I memorize the dates. But, I don't think I remember too much after that.
Well, I'm beginning to question even our education system because...
Me too.
I don't think, you know, if I had a child today, trust me, that child would be homeschooled because what we're being asked to shove down the throats of these kids is just so ridiculous. And when I look back at my education, I really don't think in all the years that I was in school and I had two master's degrees that there's a thing that I learned there that I ever actually have used in life.
Mm. Yep.
So, and yet... Things like Reiki, I took Reiki, and anybody out there, even if you don't want to be a healer, you should take Reiki 1 and Reiki 2 because the attunements that you get with each of them are absolutely phenomenal as far as expanding your awareness. And
right.
Reiki 2, the basis of it is to teach you to trust yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's something
exactly.
that I mean, happily when I took it, I had been in this field for like 40 years, so I didn't have any trouble with trusting what came out of my mouth. I mean, if it's spiritual, I trust it. Let me put
right.
it that way. There are other aspects of what comes out of my mouth that I wouldn't trust at all. But anything in the spiritual aspect, I trust. I know that if I am guided to say something, I say it and I trust it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't pick stocks for people, and I don't pick lottery numbers and stuff like that. But it's sort of like I think most people today don't trust themselves they don't trust their judgment, you know, on some levels. They just don't feel secure enough within themselves to really trust what it is they're being guided to say, and it's guided to do.
Or how to respond to a specific thing or and a lot of people want everything to happen right now, you know, and that's not going to happen.
No.
It works on the universe time clock, not our time clock. And they don't have a time clock, so... they're waiting for you to do some work too, not just sitting there waiting for it to happen.
Well, that sometimes is confusing to me because I understand that we are supposed to be evolving. I understand that we are supposed to be moving towards a cosmic oneness, so that we really can blend with the hierarchy that is out there waiting for us to grow up, but. In the meantime, there is so much garbage going on down here. I don't see how, yes, I will admit that there are groups of people that definitely have a more spiritual philosophy than used to. I'll grant you that it's there, but they're in such small groups, and they're such small enclaves, and it's just in many ways people. Do things like these chat rooms or like the Spiritualist Online Network because they have their anonymity and they're afraid that other people will know that they're... I have a client that is working in she's a member of the Spiritualist Network, and she's not using her right name because she doesn't want anybody to know what she's doing. Now, that's almost medieval, but it still goes on today.
Oh, it does. It does. I mean, when I went to that talk last night, one of the first things someone said was, well, you know, we don't really do angels or believe in angels here. You know, we don't really have the beliefs that you do. You know, but then she goes on to tell me, you know, how the angels have, you know, helped her many times. So it's like, okay, so it's you know, it's almost like, why are you here? And, you know, what can you tell us, you know? And, you know, I think I should have done a little bit more research myself about where I book my places. But,
yeah, I've done that too.
yeah, you know, so, you know, it was an interesting event, let's put it that way. But, yeah, I mean, it was almost like, you know, it was almost like a hush-hush subject, you know, angels. And, you know, I guess I was, you know, kind of hush-hush for, you know, 7 or 8 years. And, you know, I guess my book got me out there in you know, a little bit more than what I had been before. You know, I was on the internet, I was on the radio, but I wasn't particularly face to face. So,
so it's
I guess
a lot safer that way.
That, you know, so, but it's the amount of people that, you know, that really have no clue how, you know, that there is possible, you know, that you are able to communicate with the angels is, you know, I'm finding it to be very widespread.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
when I started in this field in the 60s, people had known what I was doing, I would have lost my job.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, no question, I would have lost my job. And now, so many more people are open to it. I worked an opening of a nursing home, of all things. It was the corporate opening, so we weren't reading the clients. I thought at one point we were supposed to be reading the inhabitants, and I thought, oh, God, that's going to be morbid. And no, it was all the corporate sponsors who were there. And one man sat down in front of me, and he said, I'm not sure what you do, and I told him that I, you know, I was an intuitive and that I, you know, read what was happening in someone's life and what was going to be coming up for them, and that I was also a medium. And he said, what does that mean? And I said, well, I speak to people who have crossed over. And he said, oh, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't believe in that. And I said, well, don't worry. I won't do it to you then. You know, I did the short reading that I was going to do, and he said, well, how did you know that? And I said, well, I read it in your energy and in the cards. And he said, and were there any spirits around me? And I said, just your mother's mother who passed over a couple of years ago, but you didn't want to hear from her. And he looked at me and he said, how did you know that? And I said, because I did research on you before you sat down here, and I went to the computer and I Googled your name and I got your history and I checked your ancestry and I got your license plate and I checked that out, and, you know, I made sure that you were, you know, not a crook. And he said, you didn't have time for that. I said, precisely. and, you know, you just kind of, you sit back and you shake your head. But what's cool is that people today are so much more, with the exception of the group you apparently had, are usually a little more open to it than they ever used to be, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you know, I think one of the people there that was the most vocal, it was almost like she was half half understanding, half not, you know, and it was mm-hmm. like Echo and Jekyll the whole time. That was interesting. But, I think it's important, and I think that this is a lesson I'm learning, you know, it's to be sure that, you know, I am working with people that kind of understand the work, you know, and are a little bit open to what I do.
My God, you're working with angels, for God's sake.
Right. I know, but you know.
I mean, you're not just a psychic. You work with the angels, so
right.
I mean, that's quite amazing in and of itself. So I have to ask because I was wondering, are you writing another book?
I am in the process of starting a children's book on angels.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to, you know, I have started to do a few poems for it. And I've kind of thought out how I want to plan it. Like I thought I would talk about a few of the archangels that kids might be able to relate to and how maybe they can help them and maybe have a question answer thing and maybe an art and a cooking section with a few recipes like angel food cake or
devil food cake.
You know, things like that, you know, angel food cake, yeah, hey. you know, like our ideas, you know, like angels in the snow and, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I thought I would make it a fun type thing for them. I'm starting to work on that a little bit. I have also done, I've been writing for a e-zine for the last 4 years, and I probably have about 4 years worth of articles, so I'm thinking of putting those into an e-book. And it's a column that I've done every month, almost every month, and it's called Angel Whispers, and it's kind of like, it's messages that I feel the angels may have, like for the month or for the year, or an experience I had with the angels, and you know, what I sensed the angels were trying to tell me, or you know, different things like that. So I thought I would put those into an ebook along with some of the poems that I've written and meditations and things like that.
Well, for those people out there that don't know what an e-zine is, and I didn't until very lately, you want to explain that?
Oh, an e-zine is an online magazine,
okay.
And you know, they have articles by different authors, and it's just like a, you know, a hard copy, but it's online. And let me see, I'm trying to think of what e-zine. Well, the name of the e-zine that I have been writing for is called pencilstubs.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a variety of different types of writers. They have Michael Fierro, who is a numerologist. He just joined. And a few other people that, you know, people kind of come and go. They share their poetry. They share their
mm-hmm.
photography. They share their writing. Some people do chapter stories, like a chapter a month or something. So it's, you know, it's very eclectic, and the authors are from all over the world. So it's kind of a nice mix of things to read about. So.
It's really a cool thing, and it saves paper, too.
Yeah, it is. It does save paper, for sure. So, I've written for Times, too, a couple of articles there.
Well, you certainly have, you know, spread yourself out beautifully. And, you know, it's got to be exciting to see how things basically just are drawn to you, that you don't have to do that much work. You just, you know, you're there and the universe.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes, I mean, I think, you know, it's like once I said, okay, you know, I'm going to do this, it's like things did come my way, and I did some things, didn't do others, and, you know, but I, it was almost like I was being pushed, like being put on the radio for the first time, you know. I had thought about it for about probably a year or 6 months before I was asked, and you know, when the opportunity came, I said, okay, and I was like you, I was a complete wreck, and, didn't know what
to scary.
But we were both in the same boat. We both had not ever been on the radio ever. So it was kind of interesting. And she was a medium and I was doing angel cards, so we kind of did a mix of both. And I guess we did it for about 4 months. And then things happened in my life that I couldn't continue. But I was also a part of Believe in the Moment. I was their first radio host, and I was there for a couple of months. Then I did my own show, and for about, I guess, 5 or 6 months, and then I came back on with Spiritualist Online last year, and then I decided to do my own again. So I'm back to doing my own again.
You want to tell people what the name of your radio show is here on Blog Talk?
Sure. It's called Angelical Whispers. And I had been doing the show since May, like for half hour each day during the week from 2:30 to 3. And just this week I've started to do the show with an hour, and it's on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. And it's the numbers have been very good. I've been very happy about it. And I think people are liking it, and I'm glad that I have the extra half hour to be able to talk to people. So that's been nice too.
Yeah, I find that an hour is usually not enough, that you want to be able to have the time to really give quality. And
yeah.
it seems to me that for
well,
me,
at first
anyhow,
it was just kind of like, okay, I have this book, it's coming out, be aware of it. You know, and I would read a message, maybe take a few calls, maybe kind of talk about what I was doing. Then I found that I needed to do more and that people needed more too as they, you know, got to know me. So, So, you know, and I can see it being 2 hours in a couple of months too, but I'm going to go slow in doing that, just to be sure that I can have the time to do it, you know, kind of know exactly what my schedule is going to be. So,
well, you know, the universe does truly does manipulate us, and
yeah.
it manipulates everybody. I think that so many people don't understand that. You know, we have charted a course before we came into this lifetime, absolutely, but the universe is really guiding us along that pathway that we selected, if you want to call it that. But you know, sometimes it isn't exactly what we think we should or want to be doing, so that
exactly.
Sometimes it feels very unfair that things are going not in the way that we had anticipated them. And the reality is, it's exactly what we need. It's exactly what we asked for. It's just that we didn't bring in the cognizance of asking. And,
right,
you know,
right.
So many people say, well, I would never have asked for this. And the reality is, you know, when you're on the other side, somehow it doesn't seem quite so bad.
Yeah. I mean,
you know.
And I've just a couple of months ago, I had found something I had written in a journal, and it was, I think it was like 2004, 2005, and it was, I was writing a letter to God, and it was telling God that I would, that I wanted to write a book, but I didn't know what it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wrote a letter back from God, and he says, that's exactly what you're going to do. You're going to write a book. And I forgot about it, you know, and then I found it after the book was just published. And so it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I think that everything that we go through in our path and in our journey, you know, is to make us stronger, to make us wiser, and to be able to help others in one way or another. Because I know that I've had some very difficult years and a lot of anger, and, you know, the angels kind of got me out of that really fast. And, well, not really fast, but over a period of time, you know. And so, you know, it's a learning, you know, we're all here to learn. And, you know, and we all do it in our own ways in the way that I think is best suited for ourselves, you know. Sometimes we have to keep, sometimes we have to keep learning the same things over and over again, but
I've usually learned that.
Definitely.
The thing is, when we're on the other side, when we have total, complete, absolute awareness as to everything, and we say to ourselves or to the guys in the Reincarnation Center, you know, I want to work on this aspect and this aspect, and I think I need to polish up this aspect a little bit too. So, you know, give me situations that will enable me to do that. We're not thinking about how difficult, how hard, or how complex it might be. By the time we get into, you know, thinking about coming back down here, we've spent a great deal of time over there. We've really let go of the bitterness, the hate and the hurt and all of that stuff that may have come from a previous lifetime. And we're just not thinking. I think we should be allowed to, you know, review the last life just to remember what this stuff was about. Because some people are very, very ambitious, not even thinking about what they could possibly be asking. I mean, especially let's look at the saints. I mean, I'm sure that when they came into this lifetime knowing they wanted to polish up their service to humanity, they had no intention of wanting to be killed or martyred or burned at the stake. You know, that was the farthest thing from their minds. And so I think when we sit there and we say, well, let's see, what do I need to work on next time? I mean, next time I think I may want to work on struggling with being profoundly wealthy and not being able to find enough places to give my money away. That would be a good thing. I can't figure out how to put that in spiritual terms so that they'll give that to me. I mean, you know, it would be nice to not have to struggle here and there. But the struggle, you know, and I'm not complaining because the struggle is part of the game. And it's part of the passage, and it's part of the journey. But you see some people that have come into this lifetime that have no intention of reaching their full potential. Now that's got to be a tough lifetime to know you have the potential and to not reach for it, to intentionally not reach for it, to know that you have gifts and talents that you're just not going to reach for, and you're not going. I know people that I have talked to about, you know, all of the wonderful things they have inside and all of the wonderful potential and the gifts and the this and the that, and they'll say, I know, but I'm not going to do that. Or, you know, they have a reason for not doing it. And it's all good reasons, and it's what their soul should do. But it's so frustrating. They should not come to readings. They just shouldn't.
Exactly. Well, you know, I think a lot of it is, you know, what other people will think, you know, if they did use their gifts or they just don't completely have an understanding of what it's all about, you know, of what spiritual gifts are, you know.
But we've come into each, you know, we have experienced through our journey through time, we have been the worst and the best.
Mm-hmm.
Because we needed to experience those things. So when people this lifetime aren't actually working on manifesting their talents and their skills and their gifts, maybe that is their way for using this lifetime to understand what it is like to not reach for your potential.
It could be.
I think there's got to be a better way of learning it, but apparently not.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know,
I think some people just, you know, they just don't, you know, they just don't want to, you know, they don't, but I don't think they totally understand what it is they want to do either, you know, or how to go about doing what they maybe think they would like to do.
But with the understanding that everyone carries a fully evolved master spirit inside of themselves, then you look at I truly believe that the true evolved awakened masters do walk among us, but they wouldn't have anything to do with a spiritual group or any of the stuff that we do. It's they would look upon what we're doing as child's play. And they're here to work on the refining aspects of their spirit, and they may be in caves someplace. I don't know. I think that there have been some that I have a suspicion that they were an evolved master, but those evolved masters aren't truly not even a part of the kind of genre that we're evolved in. We're still playing. We're still kids. We're still in kindergarten or maybe first grade. There's so much to learn, and there's so much to
learn
from. You know, I think one of my biggest objections is when someone sits down in front of me and says, I have to leave my husband because he's not as evolved as I am. And it's sort of like, well, who told you you were more evolved than he was? Well, of course I have to be because I'm involved in this field. And, you know, I remember saying to one woman, you know, I hate to tell you this, but he is so totally far more evolved than you are that I just can't believe it. And you should be grateful that you're spending time with him.
I think a lot of people do have that thinking, you know, that because, you know, they may not have the same beliefs or use their gifts in the same way as the person that they're having a relationship with, that, you know, that the relationship should end and they'll find their Prince Charming, you know, and somewhere else. But I think basically it's just a matter of respect for each other and their path. And pardon me?
Oh no, I agree with you. I think that's absolutely true. And I think what is so amazing is sometimes people don't recognize that. You know, I knew one. I had a friend of mine who was constantly seeking her soulmate, and not happy with her husband at all, happy with him at all. Just wanting to leave him, but she wasn't going to leave him until she found her soulmate. She got cancer, and he was right there with her the whole time. He was there 24/7. He was supportive. He was kind. He was gentle. He was wonderful. And I saw her shortly before she passed away, and she said, "Can you believe what an asshole I was looking all over the place for a soulmate, and all the time I was married to him?" And I said, "Isn't it cool that you figured it out?" It was amazing how, you know, the people get terms in their heads and labels like soulmate or twin flame or whatever, and what they're looking for is someone who can synchronistically be a part of their life and you know, help them to enrich themselves and you them but everybody's whole and everybody's complete, and you know, twin souls soulmates, masters. Nobody wears a name tag. Nobody wears a label, and you have to treat everybody as though they were that person.
Exactly.
You never know.
Because I mean, I experience it in my own life, but we have come to the point where we do respect each other, you know, and we participate in each other's activities too, you know, and it's quite nice to know that I have someone that, you know, is there with me despite what, you know, it might not be his total belief, you know, and I just feel very blessed for that. And, you know, the idea of looking for someone else, I mean, I think I have them right here, so I'm not going anywhere. But, you know, I do get that a lot, too, in with people that I read or people that I talk about, you know, I'm looking for my twin flame. I never heard of a twin flame until this year, so... you know, I, you know, it wasn't anything that was on my mind anyways, I don't think, but,
well, it's,
you know,
it's
I
another,
just,
it's another, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's just another label that, you know, people can sell books for and say, this is how you find your soulmate. I can tell people how to find their soulmate. I can tell them exactly how to find their soulmate, and I will guarantee that they will do it. First of all, they have to stop looking and work on themselves. And second of all, they should have a joyful life and be celebrative all the time and only do things that give them joy. And if that's the case, they will radiate an energy that will draw to them someone else who is exactly like them. But they have to be content within their life. And, you know, I have people look at me like I'm absolutely stark raving mad, but it's true. And I'll put it in writing. I'll sign the paper. I'll guarantee it. You know, and if they do that, if they work on themselves, become content within their life, are joyful and celebrative, and always doing things that give them joy, they will absolutely find their soulmate. And you don't look for a soulmate to do that for you. You become that, and then you attract that to you. And
well, I think I had to do that myself. I had to be happy in myself and, you know, and to learn what it is I needed to learn, you know, or experience or whatever. And basically, our beliefs are basically the same, you know, in most ways. It's just, you know, it's just respect, you know, and I think respect starts, you know, in the home as a child, you know, and, you know, parents towards children, children towards parents, towards siblings, and, you know, just think if everyone respected everyone, there probably wouldn't be any wars, you know.
Well, if you stop to think about it, when society, when humanity gets to the point where there is no war and we all have learned that we are one family and that we all love each other and share, don't have to always like each other, but love each other. That's the moment in time when we don't need politics and we also don't need religion.
Right.
Because if we are all one in unconditional love, then we have achieved what religion is all about.
Right. And, you know, and religion is different expressions of, you know, honoring, you know, God, the source. And, you know, there isn't one to me, in my opinion, any better than the other. You know, it's just different expressions. But there are people that don't believe that.
You can call him God or Yahweh or you know.
I have that in my book, as a matter of fact. in the beginning that, you know, I talk about God in my book, but it could be used for any type, you know, of belief.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I call it the God cause.
Yeah. Well, I tend to use what is the term that I usually use? I use a higher power, or I use, you know, infinite spirit. I think
yep.
is the term that I kind of use too. Only because I was doing a church service once, and I was giving everybody a spiritual baptism, a baptism in light, and they lined up and they came down almost as though they were receiving communion, which I thought was fascinating. And one man stood before me and he said, "I'm an atheist." And I said, "I don't care." And he said, "Well, I don't believe in God." And I said, "I don't care. I'm baptizing you in the light. You can believe or not believe in anything you like." And he said, "Hey, that works for me, lady."
That's great. In my preface, I said, throughout the book, I refer to God, source, or higher power. In most
mm-hmm.
of my messages, I use God and the pronoun him. That is how I think, because that
mm-hmm.
is how I think. However, please don't think that you have to use a term if it doesn't work for you, nor do you have to think of him. Please know that I use the word God I am referring to, and you can use whatever term. It sounds like that's a repeat, but, you know, divine deity, being
mm-hmm.
you, and source, Allah, Buddha, the goddess, great spirit. So, and I didn't think I needed to put that in, but I'm glad I did, you know, because I think, you know, it just kind of keeps things on an even keel, you know.
Well,
and it's also
covers
saying
all your
that
bases.
You know,
there are going to be people. I mean, when you look at what you've written, and you know, if you take out even the fact that it comes from an angel, if you took out the angel stuff, Peg, you'd still have a fabulous book.
Mm.
I mean, it stands on its own without even saying that it's from angels, because it is pure, it is simple, and it is kind, and it is loving. And it helps you find the source within. And,
right.
And
right.
You can't go any further than that.
Right, right. And it, you know, it talks about, you know, being grateful and healing, self-healing, healing with color. You know, you get to use creative expression, you know, like an example is, you know, coloring what color your heart places. Or what coloring the color of your heart, you know, how it feels to you over a period of 5 days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that would be very interesting to do, you know, with a group of people to see the different colors and, you know, how they, what they meant to them, you know, over that period of time.
Absolutely.
You know, and you know, it includes, you know, getting, exploring creativity on different levels, you know, in different ways.
Well,
I think you've hit
on what I think is the absolute most, aside from wanting to become more spiritual, you have hit on the one absolute that can guarantee that people become more spiritual, and that's the inclusion of spirituality within their lives.
Right.
You can have all of the knowledge, you can have all of the philosophies, you know, tucked away, you know, just quietly in place inside of you, and you can do that for an entire lifetime. But if you are not being creative, if there is not a channel of creativity open within you, spirituality cannot manifest within your life. Just can't happen. And that's
I totally agree with that.
You know, it's when people come to log jams, when they're hitting their heads against a brick wall, when they're saying, "I don't understand, I'm doing everything right, I don't understand why things aren't moving, why things aren't happening, and I will ask them the one question that I know the answer to even before they open their mouths. I will say, what are you doing of a creative nature? And they look at me and say, nothing. I have to get life moving before I can be creative. And you know, the response back is, no, you got to get creative before your life's going to start moving. And you know, you can argue with me all you want, but I'll guarantee that one.
I agree with that. You know, while I was after college, and well, even before college, you know, I would do different kinds of creative crafts and things, but I never did any kind of creative writing in any way. I mean, I never wrote a poem. I never, you know, wrote an essay about anything because I did crummy in school writing essays. And, you know, so what are the angels have me do but write essays and write poems and, you know, learn different techniques and, you know, learn expression and, you know, next thing I know I'm channeling prayers and things and, you know, it's pretty amazing. It really is pretty amazing.
No, I totally agree with you. I sat in a spiritual development class in a spiritualist church for 7 years. And every week we were given a title to write on. And you know, we were told it just short, doesn't have to be long. You focus on the title. And it was cool titles like, you know, The Seasons of My Soul or The Rainbow Bridge to Heaven or, you know, stuff like
yeah,
that.
It was not
philosophically challenging at all, but it gave us a spiritual aspect to focus on. And we all did it. Some of us did it 5 minutes before class. Some of us did it during class. Some of us, you know, actually worked on it at home and brought something in. One of the women in the class found that she wrote the most beautiful poetry just focusing on these titles. She channeled. I found that you know, when I was really pressured and I hadn't done it, you know, I would, you know, sit there quietly, close my eyes, and I'd start writing, and I would get my homework done just as they came to me to read it. But I don't think that the minister actually knew what he was doing, but it was brilliant because he was teaching us all to channel without us even knowing it.
Right.
And there were some, and I have to say that those people who are basically very intellectually oriented have a harder time to channel than those who are more creatively oriented.
Yeah, because they question everything, and, you know, they I think they almost automatically, they're not sure if they believe that is a possibility, you know, or that there's something wrong with that, or they have a lot of questions. But I think people that are naturally creative, they kind of, you know, it's almost like an impulse. They just kind of write exactly what they're feeling. And that's basically, you know, that's creativity and, you know, and connecting with your intuition, you know, and just writing exactly what's in your heart. And, you know, I talk a lot about that in my book, too, is connecting with your heart and, you know, trying to point out the difference between your head and your heart. You know, your head basically, or your ego basically questions everything, and your heart is just, you know, it's just, it doesn't question. You know, it just kind of goes with the positive, the joy, the peace, you know, and, you know, and you know, the love, you know, and all that. So, but, you know, there's so many different ways you can do that, you know. Put on, I know when I do my writing with the angels class, I put on a lot of different music, like Enya, and, you know, to help people just to kind of get in the place of their heart, get out of their head, and just kind of go with what they're, you know, what they're feeling and, you know, and would like to express, you know. And I think they realize after a while that they are channeling, and that it isn't completely from them. It's from spirit, or it's from their angels, or, you know, from their poetry guide or their poetry angel, Archangel Gabriel, who is, you know, she's the messenger angel. She helps us with our channeling and our writing. You know, she shares messages. She shared message to Mary about Jesus being born, you know, and, you know, so she's a good angel to focus on when you want to do your creative writing too. And so there's a lot of different techniques, and I this past summer I took a journaling class with 18 different types of techniques, and I hope to put a class like that together soon to help, like, channel the spirit, you know, try to put some of the techniques as a basis for maybe beginning some channeling and seeing how it works. I don't really know how it will, but I think that it would, because I think it would be really creative, and I think it would help people to really tune in to spirit, to their angels,
mm-hmm.
and to their intuition. So,
well, I think that you know, that what you've done is so brilliant, because if people worked with your book consistently, they would be forced to write daily, which is
mm-hmm.
really the only way to do the channeling and to learn the channeling. And then what is fascinating, what I find a constant, is that when you do begin to channel, when there is channeling there, you are writing in a different voice than
right.
you would normally write with. And you can tell you're channeling because it is a different voice. There's a different cadence to it. There's a different feel to it. There's a different, well, heck, it's smarter.
It's like, you know, your higher voice, you know, your higher
yes.
self speaking.
It's a wiser part, yes.
Yeah. You know, when I write for the e-zine every month, I drive the editor crazy, because she's like, you know, it's like 2 days before, where's your article? I said, the angels aren't ready to tell me what to write. I have to say this to her every month. I said, I'll get it to you as soon as they let me know. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's getting to be a joke with us, because I think she's finally understanding. But, you know, it's like sometimes, you know, it's like they just make me wait, you know, and I just start writing, and it comes out, you know. So it's interesting. It's very interesting.
It can be a little scary too. Sometimes I know for 5 years I served in the pulpit of a spiritualist church, and I would always be inspired.
Yeah.
For whatever I was going to talk about. I never did a sermon. I did a sharing, but I did not do a sermon, because, you know, I'm not standing in front of anybody and preaching. But I was always, inspiration would come at a strange and wonderful time. And one Sunday it kept getting closer and closer, and I kept, you know, saying, you know, I'm ready here. Anytime you want to hit me with the inspiration, I'm just fine with it. But, you know, Sunday is coming up. And on Friday night, I was in bed, and I heard, you know, and I thought, oh, great. And then it was like, speak up, come on. And I would go back to sleep, and I'd hear the, and it got really annoying. And I finally said, come on, either spit it out or shut up, because I have to sleep. And I'd hear the, and you know, I was trying to discern what it was that was being said. And I was listening so hard to be inspired by the other side that it became very, very frustrating. And I finally turned on the light as the roar started, and I realized I had been listening to my cat snore. And so the sermon was, you shouldn't wait for inspiration. You should take it where you get it. And
exactly. Yeah, definitely.
but it was very frustrating. It was sort of like, oh, come on, stop playing with me. This is not fair. I mean, I had backup stuff, but, you know, I felt, you know, I have to play fair. I have to, you know, be inspired. And the inspiration was that often inspiration can't be understood. You have to trust that it is there.
Exactly, exactly. And you almost have to be in the right mind place for it, too. You know, it's like if it's a come on, come on, come on, it's not going to come.
Uh-huh.
But if you wait for it gently to just appear, it will be there.
Well, you know, and basically, you know, when I got to church that Sunday, I told them the story, and I said, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't have a sermon. But I figure perhaps I should just let you know how I feel about inspiration and how it touches all of our lives and how if we expect it, it's not there. If we trust that it will be there, it will be there. And I said, so either you're going to be very bored for half an hour or I'm going to be very insightful. And
that's great.
Happily, I was insightful.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, I think sometimes people really enjoy hearing about our own struggles, you know, with inspiration or just with life and kind of how we deal with it, you know. And because I think that it helps them a lot too, you know.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's what we're here for, right? We're here to help each other and share our experiences and so that they, too, can share their experiences. And, you know, it's kind of like a friend calls it a circle, kind of like a circle, you know. We learn,
mm-hmm.
we study, we learn, we teach, you know, and, you know,
well,
we're all teachers and we're all students at the same time.
Somebody taught me something a long time ago. They were saying, you know, I should be doing this work full time. This goes back probably 30 years ago. And I said, well, I tell you what, if ever I arrive somewhere, I'll look around and see if there's a crowd. And if there is, I'd be happy to share with them my experiences. And this guy jumped on me, and he didn't literally jump on me, but he chastised me. And he said, don't you understand? It's your journey that's the teaching tool, not the fact that you've arrived. And, you know, he was absolutely right. I'm not writing
a note. I say that a lot, all the time.
And people, you know, what's the big deal if I arrive? That just means I have to start another journey. The fact that I'm struggling like everybody else, that's the teaching tool.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Or people think that you have arrived and you know darn well you haven't, you know, because you've written a book and you've written a few things and had a few talks on the radio. Well, you haven't arrived. You know, you're getting there, but haven't quite gotten there yet.
It's just a rest stop.
You know,
it's
that's what I say to people, to, you know, enjoy the journey, enjoy the people that you meet, you know, and how they influence your life and, you know, the books that you read and the places that you go and, you know, and just, you know that it's, you know, especially if they do have a specific goal, you know, that they want to attain, you know, it's just a matter of enjoying the journey, you know, the people, places, and things, and, you know, the insights that we get. So, and there's always, you know, little forks in the road that, you know, that may kind of not have us go the way that we think we should go. And, you know, to be aware of those too and to appreciate those, even though sometimes that can be difficult.
Well, yeah, so. And the reality is too, I tell people you can't make a wrong turn. You can make this trip longer, but you can't make a wrong turn because ultimately you're going to end up where you belong. And,
right.
You know, it's just, you know, the is there guidance? Always. Do we get road signs? Absolutely. Do we take them? Not so much always, no.
Yeah, right. And where are we going anyways? You know, it's like, you know, we all have a goal. We want to be rich. We want to be in love and we want to have a good job, you know, but, you know, it's not the goal. It's the journey getting there, you know, or working towards it, I think, you know, and You know, and we want to be happy. that's almost one of the most ultimate goals, I think, is we want to be happy.
Oh, absolutely. I know a lot of people in this field. And for the most part, I would say that 99% of them are full of joy. You know, that's the coolest thing ever. I don't ever remember seeing, you know, a medium or a psychic that was truly depressed. Momentarily, for sure. Every now and then.
We all experience. Yeah, definitely. I know. Yeah, that's very true. Because I think that they realize, you know, where they're at and what, you know, and how it's changed their life. You know.
I have had moments in my life when things were very difficult and stressful and you know, somber. But I wouldn't trade not a minute of it because it got me to this point in time, and I think this is the coolest time ever in my life. I mean, I'm sure there will be cooler, but right now this is the coolest.
I agree with that, too, because I think that every experience that I had, you know, in working with the people that I worked with, I mean, even the family that, you know, I was a part of, am a part of, I think that all aspects of it has helped me to be more understanding of a lot of different, you know, situations, and I think it helps me to help others, too, you know, because I kind of understand where they've been at. I've seen it or I've experienced it, you know.
Yeah, and even when my husband died a year ago, I found that it meant that if somebody came to me and they were losing their spouse or their partner or had, I could absolutely look at them and say, I know exactly what you're feeling.
Yeah.
And you know, that, I mean, I'm sorry, Patrick, I mean, the fact that he died, you know, was not just because I needed to be able to say that.
Exactly.
But in some way,
you're helping someone else, you know, to maybe heal in some way, you know, to know that, that there are others like what she's experienced at that particular time, you know, and, you know, just to be able to say, I went through it too, you know, is, you know, I think helps a lot, you know.
Oh, and, gotcha.
There's a lot of support in that, I think.
But we're coming to the close here, and before we do, I want to ask, do your angels give you any indication as to what the new year is going to hold for us?
For us? You mean in the world or?
Yeah, in the world.
In the world. Let me see. I'm hearing greater understanding of spirituality, what spirituality is all about in some ways. I'm hearing that there may be that we may feel more of the oneness within our world. You know, a lot of us feel it, but there's also a lot that don't. They still, you know, they still see things as separate, and that there will be more belief in oneness. What else, angels? I think a lot of healing also of individuals, will become more apparent too, in understanding what healing is.
Yeah, I'm really hopeful that healing on all levels is going to be more profound. Certainly of understanding of our differences, because, you know, we're really not so different from everybody else. And
I know. I got an earful last night, you know. It's interesting. But, you know, all you can do is just smile. And bless them, you know. I think that there is going to be more understanding. I also think that a lot of the truths that have been hidden for so long, they're starting to come out now, and we can see that, especially with how our food has been treated. I think that a lot more is going to be coming out on all these truths on all aspects, and I don't think people are going to put up with it much longer. I think that people are going to want more honesty from the leaders in our world.
I would hope so, because, you know, that so many people lie who have great power is very disturbing to me. And
it is to me too.
You know, they say absolute power corrupts absolutely, and not that any of them actually have absolute power, but they have great power, and it's an amazing responsibility that we have given them, and that they abuse it so flagrantly and then rub our faces in it bothers me tremendously. And it's you keep thinking, how do we change this? How do we shift patterns so that we can be, you know, I personally am not one who would in any way, shape, or form be out there yelling for the overthrow of the government. Yet a month or so ago, I wrote an open letter to the government and I fired them all. And of course, they're all still there, so they must not have gotten it. But I put it on Facebook. I fired them all. And it got to me that it was right when the government was closed down and they were telling the people who had the soldiers that were killed, that were being brought home, that they would have to arrange for transportation for their soldiers that had died in the service of this country. And it was like, you must be joking.
Exactly.
You cannot. I mean, I would have taken it out of my own pocket before I would have said that to someone. And every politician in power had millions. I mean, it would have been so little for them to have just given the money to these families so that they didn't have to suffer any more than they had. And all I could think of is, you know, they make a big deal about America going to the help of everybody, and whenever there's a crisis or whatever, you know, battleships go in, men go in, troops go in, supplies go, and then this.
I was outraged. I read something yesterday on Facebook about a politician that tried to get some type of disability. Because of some injury in a prep school, trying to call it armed forces disability, you know, the percentage or something. I'm not really sure what that's all about, but he was trying to get that label, you know, basically, and the person that interviewed him was, I think, a congressman or a congresswoman who had lost an arm, you know, in one of the wars, and so she questioned him, and it was unbelievable. But you know, I mean, when there's people like that doing things like that, that kind of disgusts me, you know, that they think they can get away with that. Because, I mean, there are people that really do deserve to have, you know, the benefits, you know, that are truly owed to them, and, you know, and not having it done because of someone's greed, I have a problem with.
Well, you know, it's really, it gets right down to the fact that no matter what we have, there are going to be people who are going to abuse it. And until we all come to the same place where unconditional love is the standard, not the exception, but it's not a rule, it's the standard, you know, we're going to find situations like that. And I guess, you know, a lot of us have to just grumble and bitch. Sooner or later, something good comes of it all. But
exactly.
I want to thank you so much, Peg. I know we kind of got off track, but I always get off track. So
thank you for letting me be on, and it was a great experience. And the angels, thank you too.
Well, I'm so glad that everybody was here today. And you know, I look forward to, you know, seeing you more on SOC and on BTR. And I thank you so much. Just having you here has been an absolute pleasure. Thanks again.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you.